Hey, everybody. Thanks for tuning in to our weekly podcast here at First United Methodist Church, Murfreesboro. I'm Cliff Wright, the senior pastor. I hope this week's message is meaningful and inspiring to you. If you'd like more information about how to get connected at FUMC, you can visit our website, fumcm.org, or you can check us out on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter at FUMCBurrah. I also hope you'll consider joining us at one of our four weekly worship services at 8:30 and 11 a.m. on Sundays in the Sanctuary and the Family Life Center. First United Methodist Church is a warm and welcoming community of people committed to the mission of growing disciples of Jesus Christ who know Him, love Him, and serve Him. I hope this week's message helps you in your own personal journey towards knowing, loving, and serving Christ in your life. Two passages of scripture for us this morning. The first from Paul's letter to the Galatians, the fifth chapter, beginning with the first verse. Hear this, God's word for us today. For freedom, Christ has set us free. Stand fast, therefore, and do not submit again to a yoke of slavery. Now I, Paul, say to you that if you receive circumcision, Christ will be of no advantage to you. I testify again to every man who receives circumcision that he is bound to keep the whole law. You are severed from Christ, you who would be justified by the law. You have fallen away from grace. For through the Spirit, by faith, we wait for the hope of righteousness. For in Christ Jesus, neither circumcision nor uncircumcision is of any avail, but faith working through love. Then skipping to the 13th and 14th verses. For you are called to freedom, brethren, only do not use your freedom as an opportunity for the flesh, but through love be servants of one another. For the whole law is fulfilled in one word: you shall love your neighbor as yourself. Then turning to the gospel according to St. Matthew from the 3rd chapter. Then Jesus came from Galilee to the Jordan to John to be baptized by him. John would have prevented him, saying, I need to be baptized by you, and do you come to me? But Jesus answered him, Let it be so now, for thus it is fitting for us to fulfill all righteousness. Then he consented. And when Jesus was baptized, he went up immediately from the water, and behold, the heavens were opened. And he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and alighting on him. And lo, a voice from heaven saying, This is my beloved Son, with whom I am well pleased. The Word of God for the people of God. Thank you. You may be seated. Would you bow with me as we go to God in prayer? Now, God, either through me or in spite of me, you speak to these your people, for it's in your name we pray. Amen. I love this Sunday. This is a special Sunday. And the reason I love it is because I need times when I'm reminded of who I am. You know, it's important to remember who you are, and it's really easy to forget who we are, isn't it? There are times in life when it's important to know, well, this is who I am. Those times of challenge in life, when it's real easy to forget who we are. Times of temptation. Times of decision making. You know, there are times when you just got to stand up, aren't there? You know, it's not every day, but there are times you got to make a decision. There are times you got to make a choice. And sometimes those decisions and choices are hard. And so there are times it's really important to remember who you are. There are times that you've got to stand up for what it is that you believe in. There are times when we need to remember our values. And that's the reason why I love this Sunday so much. Because our baptism reminds us of who we are. It tells us this is who you really are. Remember our lesson from Matthew's gospel this morning? Jesus, we are told, went to the Jordan to be baptized by John. And when John baptized Jesus, the heavens were opened, remember? Jesus heard a voice from heaven, the voice of God. And you remember what God said to Jesus at his baptism? This is my Son, with whom I am well pleased. Friends, that's the message for each and every one of us. At our baptism, we are reminded, the voice of God says, this is my child, this is my son, this is my daughter. We are claimed. We are claimed by God. God says yes to us. And God says yes to us before we can ever say yes back to God. That's what grace is. Grace is that undeserved, unmerited love of God that is given to us, that we're reminded of at our baptism. God's yes to us is not dependent upon our yes back to God. That's the reason why I love our United Methodist tradition of infant baptism so much, because you get to see it. You know, grace is hard to understand. The reason it's hard to understand is because you don't get it anywhere else in life. We earn everything else we have in life. But grace is something that you can't earn, you can't deserve, you can't work hard enough to get. It's just a gift. It's just a gift that is given to us. We can preach about it and talk about it. We can sing about it. Sometimes you just got to see it. Infant baptism, we see it. There it is. All through my ministry, I've had folks who have come to me and they have said, you know what, there's so much about Methodism that I just really love, but I just don't get this infant baptism thing. And how can you folks baptize these little babies when it's perfectly clear that they don't know what's going on? They can't understand it. They don't have a clue. And we say, yeah, that's it. That's exactly the reason why we believe in it. Isn't it great that we worship a God who doesn't wait for us to understand? Isn't that great? Because here's the deal. We never understand. We deceive ourselves thinking that there comes a place in life when we understand everything. We never understand everything. Isn't it great that we worship a God who doesn't wait for us to understand, who doesn't wait for us to learn enough, or do enough, or be good enough, or believe hard enough before God says yes to us? That's grace. That's grace. Grace reminds us that God says yes to us, and His yes is not dependent on our yes. God says yes to us before we can say yes back to God. God just loves because that's what God does. And here's the deal. Not only is it God's love for us, but it's a love that never forgets. God never forgets His act of love. God never forgets that He bestows and lays His claim on us. That's the reason why we United Methodists do not rebaptize. You know, every now and then folks will come to me and they'll say, you know, I was christened as a baby. Oftentimes that's the word. I was christened as a baby. Christening and baptism are the same thing. So christening is baptism. I was baptized as a baby, but see, I didn't remember that. I don't know that. I don't remember that. Now that I'm an adult, I want to be baptized so that I can remember it. But we don't do that. And here's the reason why we don't do that. The reason we don't do that is God doesn't forget. We may forget, but God doesn't forget. God never forgets. This is Remember Your Baptism Sunday. If you were baptized as an infant, you may say, well, I don't remember that day. It's not about remembering the exact moment of the day that it happened. Remembering your baptism is remembering what God has done on our behalf, whether we were old enough to actually maybe remember a portion of that day or not. God doesn't forget. Baptism, Baptism at its core, at its root, is all about God's saving grace on our behalf, a grace that we don't earn, we don't deserve, we can never merit. And listen, friends, you can't add anything to it. You can't add to that. That's good enough. Years ago, there was a theologian named Karl Barth. Karl Barth was profound theologian, and he was invited to speak at one of our major universities. And following his presentation, they had a press conference where scholars, students were invited to come. They could ask him anything, any question they wanted to ask him. And so they got in this room. It was packed, just packed, full of people. And finally, a hand in the back of the room went up. The question asked was, Dr. Barth, in all your years of study, what's the most profound thing that you have learned? What's the most profound thing that you have learned as a theologian in all of your years of study? Everybody had their pencils ready to write down what Dr. Barth was going to say. Because here's the thing about theologians. Oftentimes they will say something, a lot of people nod their heads, but they don't have a clue what they're talking about, because that's how deep and heavy it is. And they said, Dr. Barth, what's the most profound thing that you have learned in all of your years of study? And he said, the most profound thing, everybody's got their pencils ready, they're ready to write it down. He said, here's the most profound thing that I have learned in all of my years of study is this. Jesus loves me. This I know, for the Bible tells me so. The most profound thing that I've learned in all my years of study. Jesus loves me. This I know. Do you know that? Do you know that this morning? Do you know that Jesus loves you with everything that He has? That's grace, my friends. You can't do anything. You can't be good enough. You can't be good enough. You can't do enough, and you don't have to do enough. You don't have to believe all the right things. That's grace. Once we start adding to that, like, well, if I do this, Jesus will love me, or if I live this way, Jesus will love me. Once we start adding anything to it, it ceases to be grace. Grace is absolutely unmerited, undeserved. It is just freely given. All we've got to do is accept it. What the Bible's teaching us is that's enough. That's enough. Because that grace saves us. It changes us. The problem is, here's the problem. The problem is so many people want to add to that. You know, you got to do certain things. I mean, take baptism for an example. The people say, you got to add to that. So there are people who say, well, you know, sprinkling's not enough. You Methodists, you know, sprinkling, that's not enough water. You got to go under that water and act like you were dying, man. You got to have more water than just a little bit. So you got to, and I have had people all through my ministry say, I want to be baptized. I was sprinkled when I was a baby. I was sprinkled when I was a teenager. I want to be baptized the way Jesus was baptized. We don't know. We don't have a clue how Jesus was baptized. The Bible doesn't tell us how Jesus was baptized. It's not in the Bible about how Jesus was baptized. And back in those days, they didn't have iPhones to take pictures. Near it was. I will say this, the earliest artist renditions that we have, this doesn't mean that it happened this way, but the earliest artistic renditions we have of Jesus' baptism were Jesus standing in the River Jordan up to his calves with John the Baptist pouring water over his head with a shell. Those are the earliest artistic renditions we have. But you see, what happens is, well, I believe in grace, but I've got to add this. I've got to add this something that I've got to do in order to get in and to be a part. That's what Paul's talking about in his letter to the Galatians. Listen, Paul's coming down hard on the Galatians in our scripture lesson this morning. You go back and read that letter. Paul's getting really, really serious with the Galatians. In fact, as far as we know, Paul's letter to the Galatians is the only letter that Paul wrote that doesn't have a thank you. And the thought is, the reason for that is Paul's coming down hard on the Galatians. He's getting serious with the Galatians. And the reason is there were some people there that were referred to as Judaizers. And here's what they believed. They believed in Jesus And they believed in Jesus' grace, but they felt like it wasn't enough. That something needed to be added to that. You had to do certain things and not do other things in order to get in and be a part of the family of God. One of those things was for men to be circumcised. That's what he's talking about in a portion of our letter this morning. So it wasn't just, grace wasn't enough. You had to show that you were worthy. You had to show that you were good enough. And for the men, it was to be circumcised. For everyone, it was following the law. Paul talked about that in our letter this morning. Did you catch that? You got to follow the law. You can't just follow a part of it. You got to follow every part of the law. To a T, you had to follow that law to be good enough so that you could get in. I got to thinking about that, getting ready for our service this morning. And I realized all through my ministry, I've pastored churches. And in every one of those churches, there have been some Judaizers in those churches. Do you know of any? There are those folks who say, yes, I believe in Jesus. And yes, I believe in Jesus' grace. But that's not enough. You know, you got to add too. There's some things you got to do, and there's some things you got to stay away from. There's some ways you got to live, and there's some ways you can't live. You've got to be good enough in order to be a part. There's some things you got to do, some things you can't do. And then it hit me. Oh, gee whiz, that goes way back before the time when I was a minister. It goes all the way back to when I was a kid growing up over in Union City. I didn't know it then, but there were some Judaizers around. So, you know, you got to live a certain way to be a part of the church. For example, you couldn't swim on Sunday. Any of you guys remember that? Yes, you do. You're old enough to remember that. You remember those? You could swim on Saturday. You could swim on Monday. You better not be swimming on Sunday. You know what's going to happen if you're caught swimming on Sunday? You're going to hell. You're going straight to hell. It's just like in Monopoly. Go to jail. You don't pass go. You don't collect $200. You go straight to hell swimming on Sunday. You don't have to be doing any of that swimming on Sunday. You guys remember that day? Some of you are too young to remember that day. Drinking wine. Oh my God. Oh my gosh. Don't you be drinking that wine, at least not in front of anybody else. I went to an event years ago in another church. I was sitting at a table. I'm not kidding you. Chair of one of the prime committees in the church. He had a glass of wine. I had a glass for wine. They came around to pour the wine. He took my glass and turned it upside down. He said, he's the preacher. He can't have none. He took his wine. He said, fill mine up to the top. Judaizer. Don't you be drinking that wine. Yeah. Playing cards. Y'all remember that? Evil cards. You can't be playing those cards and get in and be a Christian. In fact, that's the reason Jesus died on the cross. Did you know that? Get sinful people like you and me to stop playing those cards. Most egregious of all was dancing. I know you remember that one. Yeah. No. Mm-mm. Don't you be doing that evil. Don't you be doing that evil dancing and, you know, and thinking that you're gonna be a Christian and get into God's family. You can't do that. Leslie Weatherhead, one of the greatest preachers that's ever lived. He was in England, preached at City Temple. He preached a powerful sermon there one Sunday. A lady came through the line after the service. She said, Dr. Weatherhead, I have a question for you. He said, yes, ma'am, what is it? She said, can Christians dance? That's what she asked him. Can Christians dance? You know what he said? By my observation, some can and some can't. Huh? Now, I know what you're thinking. And you would be right to think this. Some of you are thinking, well, that's just old-fashioned. You're just showing your age. That's just old-fashioned stuff. Well, yeah, I know. The list just changes. Are you with me? It's not swimming and card playing and wine drinking. It's not that anymore. List just changes, guys. That's all. There's a different list today. Can't do this, can't do this, can't do that. You know what some of them are. Can't let those people in. List just changes. That's all. It's either grace or it's not. See, grace is not one of those things where it's kind of, sort of grace. Grace is either all the way or it's none of the way. And the thing that's so great about grace, saving grace, is it's all that you need. There are no other, listen to me, there's no other qualifications. There's no requirements for being a part of the church that you got to do this, you got to do this, qualification. No. There's no qualification. There's only one qualification. You know what that qualification is? There's only one qualification. And that qualification is this: to acknowledge our need for help. That's our only qualification. To acknowledge our need for the saving grace of Jesus Christ. To just simply say, I need the yes that we find in Jesus and accept it. That's our profession of faith. See, that's why we say in the Methodist Church, baptize at any age, 1 day old or 103 years old, or anywhere in between, because baptism is what God does. At baptism, God is the primary actor. God is saying, I'm laying my claim on this person. Profession of faith, then, which can happen at our baptism, if you're so-called old enough, or it can happen years later after your baptism. Profession of faith is simply saying, I need that. That's all. Just acknowledging our need and saying yes back to God's amazing yes through His Son, Jesus Christ, and letting that grace then change who we are, because that's what it does. It changes everything else. No qualifications, but expectations. You see the difference? No qualifications, but expectations. The expectations come after we acknowledge our need and accept the saving grace of Christ. Then there's expectations, not qualifications, not requirements, but there's expectations that we'll live differently because grace changes us. And there's the expectation then that we will live like a disciple. In other words, we will witness to the grace that we have received. Do you remember how Paul said it to those Galatians this morning? For the whole law is fulfilled in one word, he said. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. You see what he's saying? When you've accepted that, then you become a witness to it. And we don't become a witness in everything. No qualifications here, no requirements, but there's expectations. But the expectations are not that we're going to be perfect. The expectation is, by God's grace through Christ, we're going to be witnesses to the same grace that we have received. I believe that's why Jesus said, this is my commandment to you, that you love others the way I've loved you. And that's why it's so important for us to understand what it was that Jesus did, so that we be witnesses to what He did for us, and we witness that to those that are around us. So important. That bracelet that was so popular years ago, what would Jesus do? Well, I'm going to tell you, that's not a bad question. That's not a bad question at all. What would Jesus do? What would Jesus do? Because that's the way He wants us to live. To share that grace with everyone, everywhere, every day. How do you do that? Well, that's the last thing we'll talk about this morning. We remember that we're not alone in our baptism. Baptism reminds us that we're never alone. Do you remember when Jesus was baptized? You remember how it said in our lesson this morning? He consented, and when Jesus was baptized, He went up immediately from the water, and behold, the heavens were opened, and He saw the Spirit of God like a dove. That doesn't mean that it was a dove. Now, it was like that, whatever that means, that there was something that happened at that moment, and Jesus experienced this Spirit of God in His life. Baptism reminds us that we're not alone, that God's Spirit is with us to empower us, to help us, to pick us up, to encourage us, to show us the way that it is that we need to live so that others see that grace that's in us. 2 years ago this month, there was another one of those shootings. You may remember it. Perhaps you've forgotten it. I did until I went back and just did some reading again this past week. There's been so many. They all run together, don't they? But this one was in the airport in Fort Lauderdale. Do you remember that shooting? The airport in Fort Lauderdale. 2 years ago this past month, I believe it was. And they were interviewing on the news. And I remember watching this. They were interviewing this young mother who was in that airport and survived. And she was talking about it. She had two sons. One was 11, one was 13. And she was talking about the fear of that moment. Can you imagine? She said, we were trapped. There was nowhere to go. Can you imagine? You're in an airport. And this gunman is just going around shooting everybody in his path. And she said, there was nowhere to go. There wasn't anywhere to hide. There just wasn't anything you could do. You couldn't hide anywhere. You couldn't go anywhere. We were just trapped. And she said, finally, there was a little group of us, and we didn't know what to do. And so all of a sudden, we just fell down. We just dropped. Everybody just dropped. And she said, and I fell down on the floor. And when I fell down on the floor, she said, all of a sudden, this man that I'd never met before, she said, I found out his name was Tony. Tony just dropped on top of me. She said, he was an older gentleman, old enough to be my dad. And Tony just dropped on top of me and covered me up. And the gunman was coming and he was shooting. And she said, this man, complete stranger I'd never met before in my life, whispered in my ear, I will protect you. She said, that's what he whispered to me. I will protect you. I will take the bullet for you. I'll protect you. Gee whiz. Can you imagine that? Can you imagine somebody being willing to die for you? Can you imagine that? And I got to thinking, gee whiz, if that happened, that woman, her life, it would never be the same, would it? To think that there was somebody, some guy named Tony, that was willing to cover her up and take the bullet for her. Oh, every day of her life, to sit there and think about, oh my gosh, I'm alive today. This guy was willing to do that for me. It would change everything about her life, wouldn't it? And then it hit me. Has it hit you? A little over 2,000 years ago, there was a guy named Jesus who climbed up on a cross. And he said, I'm going to do this for you. I'm doing this for you. I'm going to die for you so that you can have the life that God wants you to have. And if we ever get that, friends, and I mean really get it, we remember it, and it gets into the very fiber of our being, you know what it will do? It will change every part of us, because you can't accept that grace without being changed. So, remember your baptism. Don't ever forget who you are. In the name of God the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.